first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me and giving me possibility to speak about my results here. I also am not in developing of theory, but a user of computational chemistry. And in fact, I am a gas-based chemist, so I am doing both experiment and theory. And nowadays, these two in this field live in real symbiosis, so it's basically not possible to do experiment without theory. And recently, I reviewed the literature in the field, and I would call it as an invasion of DFT, because in the last 10 years, we see an exponential increase of theoretical publications in the field of gas phase chemistry. I will speak about two cations, CO2, but first I would like to give you a little bit background to the story, how we came to the investigation of this theoretically interesting system. So we are studying reactions in the gas phase, and because we are addressing reactions in interstellar space or planetary atmospheres, we have to deal with very low temperatures and very low pressures. This means that you cannot activate your reactants, and you have to live with the energy which the reactants bear in themselves. Therefore, most of the neutral reactants do not react because they do not simply have the energy to overcome the reaction barrier. Normally in atmospheric chemistry it's solved by the reactivity of cations, because cations form with the neutral reactants a complex, and this internal energy is then available to overcome the barriers for reactions and form products. Of course, this is working only to a certain size of the reactants. When you have a large reactants, then already one single ionization is not enough to provide enough internal energy in interaction with the neutral partner, and should not see any reactivity. So the logical step further would be a double ionization, which increases again potential energy of the reactant, and therefore in the reaction with neutral you obtain a more internal energy, and again many reactions are allowed from energetical point of view. These reactions were not studied at all until very recently, because there is a complicating event, and this event is charge transfer. So when you approach dication with a neutral, the simplest thing they can do is just to exchange electrons, then you form a two single charge reactant or product which repel each other, and you do not see any reactions. So all theoretical treatments and also experimental treatments were concentrated on describing this charge transfer event, and basically theoretical description was summarized here. It's called reaction window theory, which says that if you have a dicationic and neutral reactor, there is a certain reaction window in which the charge transfer event is probable, and when you're out you do not see anything. And this is a result because basically you look at the internuclear distances between two reactants, and if they are far away you have a too large distance for hopping of the electrons, so the electronic transfer is not probable. When you are too close to each other, or this crossing is at very small internuclear distances, you do not have a coupling between two adiabatic states, so you again do not receive any charge transfer. So the crossing between these two curves have to be between 2 to 6 angstroms usually, and this corresponds to a certain exothermicity of charge transfer. So basically all experiments and theory were concentrated on describing this this event. In that time I was also studying, mostly charge separation processes, and I was interested in energy release in so-called Coulomb explosion of organic dications, and this is a potential energy surface for toluene dication, and I was studying Coulomb separations of this ion. And in these studies I realized that there is a next to charge separation process is a massive process which leads to elimination of H2 molecules or H atoms, depends on which ion you take. So here it's described When I studied C7H8 dication, I saw a lot of H2 elimination. And at that time, when we were discussing the reactivity, we thought perhaps when we see such a large elimination of H2, it would be possible to take this hydrogen depleted dication and react it with H2 and see a doubly charged product. And this was a reaction which was not at all known, and it was believed that it cannot take place because charge transfer always prevents this channel. So we took a D2 to see whether we built in some new hydrogen, took this reactant, reacted with D2, and what we saw was not an adduct, but we saw exchange of H by D. And this means that we entered the potential energy surface here. We formed a complex which had a certain lifetime, but of course it had still this large energy because we are in the gas phase and we cannot get rid of this internal energy. So in the end, the H2 molecule or HD or D2 molecule was again eliminated. So this was a first hint that these reactions might exist. So we thought perhaps when we take a larger molecule, we can make again the adduct, and we can hope that this cooling of this large internal energy will not proceed via elimination of this larger molecule, but by elimination of H2. So we took acetylene as the, for us, an obvious reactant at that time. And what we saw was lots of proton transfer from the C7H6 dication to acetylene, some of the Coulomb explosion. But here we saw what we expected and postulated. We saw the C9 dication, so we saw a first cross of dications. And as you can see, the sum of the hydrogen is A. So the products are depleted in H2 or H hydrogen. So this corresponds to the mechanism that you form an adduct, and after formation of this internally hot adduct, you have to cool the energy, and this is done by evaporation of some light molecule or atom in this case. This is a potential energy surface which was calculated at the B3 lip level of theory with a triple zeta basis set. And here you can see that the interaction between the dication and acetylene is in the first step mediated by a hydrogen atom. In the second step, by a very small barrier, you form a C-C bonded complex already. And in the third step, which is energetically most demanding, you make a complicated rearrangement. These are structures along the intrinsic reaction coordinate and form a bicyclic product. This has a large internal energy, so this is cooled by evaporation of H2 molecule or H hydrogen or atomic hydrogen. I have a very good experience with B3-related calculations for these dicationic systems, and as we heard, that DFT method usually underestimates reaction barriers. Here, it's extremely important for this reaction because we proposed it as a possible mechanism for growth of polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons in interstellar space. So it's important that the all barriers are below the entrance energy because you do not have additional energy in interstellar space. And as you can see, this is relatively tight here. But we made an experiment with photoionization, so we studied the yield of the reaction independent of internal energy of the reactant, and we have been able to show that the less the internal energy reactant has, the more yield we have. So this shows that the reaction barrier is really below zero. Now, then we of course went to a further possible mechanism of growth of polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and instead of acetylene we took benzene as a reactant. And now I come to the topic of my talk, because we indeed again saw the coupling reaction, but we saw completely puzzling thing for us in this case. And this was when we used the toluene dication and reacted it with benzene, we formed relatively hot toluene monocation. And this toluene monocation is known to either lose H atom and form benzyl cation or tropylium cation. So this is very efficient process, and so this was expected. But when we changed the reactors, which meant that we took a benzene diazepam and reacted with neutral toluene, we saw completely unexpected results. We found an extremely cold toluene cation. So this spectrum of toluene you would never receive by any except the very cold photoionization method, because this means that you really form a cold cation by the charge transfer process. And this was strange because charge transfer processes, as I showed in when I explained reaction window theory, are thought that they are relatively long distance processes proceeding vertically, and basically you should have a symmetrical distribution of the energy between the singly charged products. So we wanted to look at it in more detail and answer these questions. So when we when you have a reaction of dication with a neutral, it seems that both products somehow remember how from what they originated, and this can have several reasons. This might mean that at some special reactivity of some excited state of dication, or it's due to some condom factors, of course. It can be due to some excited states which are accessible only from the monocation, only for from dication, or only from the neutral region, or it can be due to some formation of collisional complexes. To address this question, we took this system, we took a CO2 dication reacting with CO2, and this for us is extremely attractive system, because you basically, there are several important things. Firstly, they have all basically the same geometry, so you have always a transition from V equals 0 to V equals 0, so you completely eliminate Frank-Condon factors in this system. Secondly, you do not have isomers, they simply all have the same geometry. And thirdly, you, in the charge transfer event, you form a 2 CO2 cation which have same geometry, so you would expect that they should be the same in the charge transfer. So we looked at it, and here is the spectrum. We labeled the dicationic reactant by C13 and the neutral reactant by O18, and as you can see in the pink, the reactant which used to be doubly charged falls apart massively, whereas the reactant which used to be neutral stays as a CO2 cation. So even in this case, where they should be really equivalent, the dicationic reactant somehow takes the information even after the electron transfer event and somehow remembers that it should fall apart, although it should be the same as the neutral one. So now to address the questions which I raised. So is it due to reactivity of some excited state of the dicationic reactant? So we did it so that we created a dicationic reactant at several energies. The first spectrum shows reactants which are only in the ground state. So here are reactants only ground states of the dicationic reactant, and you can see the same result again. The one, red one, which used to be dication falls apart, whereas the reactant which used to be neutral stays intact. So this clearly shows that this is a ground state reactivity. When you generate the ions at larger ionization energy, so it means that you have already several excited states in the reactant beam, you see more or less the same spectrum. So, and this difference shows that if excited states somehow participate on this strange event, then it's maximum 20%, but dominantly it's a ground state reactivity. So, so we can exclude that it would be some strange excited state reason. The other possibility could be that population of different states might be possible from the neutral and from the dicationic reactant. When we look at these states and charge transfer between CO2 dication and CO2 neutral, we can either form the both products in the ground state, so doublet sigma G plus state, but this exothermicity of this charge transfer is almost 10 eV, so it's clear off the reaction window, and this process will not happen because simply the energy cannot be distributed within degrees of freedom and translation degree. The possible excited state which could be populated is a C state, which was known to be dissociative state and to dissociate to CO plus and O. So this is the one we need. But when you look at the populations, you can generate this simply by transferring this electron to the to this orbital. So you can create this by single electron transition, but in that case you form the C state from the reactant which used to be neutral. So this would mean that we should observe completely opposite results than we observe experimentally. If we accept that we should not distinguish them, these two CO2 cations, that they are equivalent, then they should be the same, and this cannot be the reason. And last possible state which could be responsible for this strange behavior is a big quartet state, which can be achieved by single electron transition from HOMO of the neutral to LUMO of the dication, but this has a vertical energy of the charge transfer only 1.5 eV, so it is again off the reaction window. It should not be possible, such a process. And plus, again, the two ions should be symmetric. So the last possibility is formation of some kind of collisional intermediate, which is revolutionary for basically for the understanding of charge transfer processes, because it's believed it's a vertical process and a long distance process. But we consider it, then these are three stable structures which I found. The most stable structure is the singlet state, but our reactant is triplet state in the doubly charged state, doubly charged form. So for us comes to the question, this intermediate, this is the most stable triplet state of the intermediate, and this part comes from the doubly charged reactant, whereas this part comes from the neutral reactant. This is just a simple Mulliken population to show that the radical sides of the dications are kept on the oxygen atoms which used to belong to dication. And so when we look at the dissociation of this intermediate, we can say that the electronic structure of the reactants is somehow kept in the structure of the intermediate, which then by homolytic cleavage of CO1 fragments to quartet B state and the ground state of CO2 cation. We made the analysis with Robert Ponet, we made the analysis of bonding situation of this intermediate, and we have shown that the dissociation of this bond corresponds to the formation of quartet B2 state. Now, the question is how this quartet B2 state dissociates, because the lowest state for dissociation is formation of O plus and CO, and this is what we do not observe in the experiment. We observe formation of CO plus and O. So when you look at it, it's precisely what we need. So we are forming the second excited state, the quartet B2 state, and this one dissociates to CO plus. So this is exactly what we need. Then we were searching for the evidence that such a intermediate really is formed in the charge transfer processes, and this is again the spectrum which I already showed, but this expanded part here, which corresponds, this peak corresponds to formation of C2O3 doubly charged product. When we look at it in more detail and in which oxygen stays in the intermediate, you can see, I don't want to go too much into detail, but just look at the neutral reactant and the labeling of the oxygen. So you can see that in major peak, both oxygen from neutral reactants are kept. Again here, both oxygen from the neutral reactants are kept. And here, the labeling is exchanged. And again, both O16 oxygens are kept in the doubly charged product. This means that the intermediate remembers the structure and loses oxygen, which belongs to doubly charged product, doubly charged reactant. And here, as a possible dissociation, this basically reminds the structure we heard about in the previous lecture. This is dication, so it's isoelectronic. This is C3O2 molecule, and it has again the band structure as Professor Franking showed us before. So the intermediate looks like this, and the only exothermic way or the only dissociation pathway which can be achieved within the internal energy of the intermediate is losing of this oxygen and formation of this product. We published a formation of this product in Angewandte in 2007 because it was a 100-year anniversary of discovering of neutral C2O3 in the by Berthelot in the reaction of CO with CO2. So this was a funny coincidence. Finally, I would like to show the dependence on collision energy. So I want to show that this formation of intermediates and the fact that the charge transfer is not vertical process but adiabatical process is not only restricted to small velocities of the reactants or long lifetime, but even at 16 eV of collision energy, which is really a large collision energy, much larger than it's usually used in cross-beam experiments, you see that the, again, blue curves correspond to the neutral reactant, red curves correspond to doubly charged reactant, that the neutral reactant does not fall apart, whereas the doubly charged reactant falls apart. So this is electron transfer, this is dissociative electron transfer. So the formation of intermediate can be short-lived, but it's involved even at large collision energies. So I would summarize this part that the electron transfer between molecular dications and a neutral cannot be generally simplified in terms of reaction window theory as it is often done still today, but it simply does not hold true for molecular dications and molecular reactants. Dications form with neutral reactants highly stabilized complexes which can drive their reactivity and, as I showed, can even drive the electron transfer. And what is very important, not only vertical transitions but also adiabatic transitions have to be considered. And this is quite problematic in literature nowadays because all theoretical works which are dedicated to such electron transfer processes assume vertical transition. So all potential, most of the potential energy curves which are published and are for vertical transitions and cannot be basically used. And now I would like to show several applications of this reactivity mode which we have discovered. This is we designed the reactant silicon F3 2 plus, which is a radical dication. It reacts with the N2, and nitrogen molecule is extremely difficult to activate and usually does not react with anything. But as you can see here, it forms again highly stabilized intermediates, and this large internal energy is cooled by evaporation of fluorine atom. And in the spectrum of products, you can see that this is the dominant peak. And it's a dominant process even though this charge transfer is perfectly in the reaction window for charge transfer. So this, according to the previous theories, this reaction is not possible. And as you can see, it's a dominant one. Here is the same principle used for activation of argon or rare gases in general. We use the same reactant, which is a silicon F3 dication, reacted with argon or neon. Neon reacts in the same way. Again, the reactant forms a very stabilized intermediate, silicon F3 argon dication, and the high internal energy is cooled by evaporation of fluorine atom. As you can see, again, this is a dominant product from the reaction. And by the way, it is the first ionic molecule with a silicon argon covalent bond. Finally, two last examples, again, the same principle of reactivity. We use the acetylene dication reacted with this argon. Again, we formed a highly stabilized intermediate which cools the internal energy by evaporation of hydrogen atom, and we formed the kind of argon analog of doubly charged acetylene, and this is even an endothermic reaction. And the last example is formation of carbon argon cation. There we formed again the super electrophilic reactant CH2BrH2+ reacted with argon. Again, we formed a stabilized intermediate, and this time this intermediate falls apart by cleavage of a carbon bromine bond, and with the charge separation, and we have formed by this way argon CH2 cation. So conclusions are that dications are highly reactive species, super electrophiles, and their reactions with neutral lead to hot intermediates, and these hot intermediates define or determine their reactivity. So even charge transfer proceeds through formation these hot intermediates, as I have shown or demonstrated on the CO2 case. If there is a good possibility to cool the internal energy by evaporation of hydrogen atom or other atom or molecule, small molecule, you can form a new and very interesting molecules. And finally, I would say the sentence which was added by editors of Wiley, catchphrases are usually completely crazy, but this one I like. They wrote about this way of our activation that we are waking the dead. So finally, I would acknowledge Detlef Schroeder, with whom we found this new mode of reactivity, and my co-workers Daniel Ashchenzi, E.G. Fischer, Denik Hermann, Robert Ponet, and Steve Price, and agencies for funding, and you, of course, for your attention.
I'm very much interested, of course, in the noble gas cations, which you could tell me as well. Do you see any chance to get helium and neon even in a bound system? Because there are very, very few. There are some which have been detected, but very, very few.
With this silicon S3 dication, we have managed to form also compound with neon, but the yield was very, very low because we think it's the reactivity of excited state of our dication. But now we went even to a more super electrophilic reactant, which is the BF2 cation and BF dication. So we hope that we will be able to go even lower.
I think the mechanism for the electron transfer which you were expecting to see is called the harpoon mechanism. I'm just wondering, is it possible to use electron transfer theory to predict the rate of that and to explain why it evidently is much slower than you are expecting?
I don't think it's a harpoon mechanism what we are proposing. We are proposing a formation of a complex. Oh, you meant
the thing that is not happening,
yeah,
is the harpoon. And okay. So I'm wondering if you can predict that the harpoon mechanism is slow compared with just the collision.
I think you cannot apply this mechanism at all for the molecule dicotiles and molecules. It's a good model for atoms, but as soon as you have a larger polarizability and simply the molecules feel more the potential energy surface, sound dependent, and they simply make the complex. So they this was basically designed for the for relatively small minima between the double charge product and double charge atom and neutral atom. But here, because the minimum mass is much deeper, they simply interact, form complex, and then they fall apart. And this this mechanism, this fly by, and just a transfer of electron doesn't happen.
Okay, no further questions, then thanks for watching.